Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. And so we'll start off with, obviously, the most important thing that's gone on in the last week, and that is the Star Wars trailer.
We will do Star Wars at the end.
Okay.
As is, per respect, yeah, of what we usually do here.
You guys know.
But you know what's up.
But the shakeup happened this week. And not even that. I think I saw, like, a really good joke. It's just, you know, someone's like, oh, it's time for the shakeup. And only three people asked for their release. So all in all, pretty good week.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Lot of things to address here.
Yes.
I feel like we need to have this section on the podcast where we're like, all right, here are my rules.
Okay.
That you need to follow, WWE.
Good luck with that.
Yes, obviously.
Because they don't follow their own damn rules.
Well, like, one of them is like, we had the thing a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, you know what? You don't have a name. You're not a real tag team. If you're person A, person B, and oh, word, no, you're not a tag team.
Well, and they gave somebody a tag team.
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
So, but in that same vein of like, you know what? You need to just address this issue. Does NXT count?
No.
Does the stuff that happens on NXT count in canon of WWE?
No.
Because
Exhibit A, not only the name change, which we haven't gotten to, but the fact that they weren't even holding the NXT Tag Team Championship.
Exactly. They are WWE champions.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is, like, you know,
just ignore the fact that, you know,
the name thing's garbage, obviously. Like,
sure.
Like, Viking Experience is a nonsense thing, and I don't think they could have self-parodied themselves more effectively.
Right, and if someone's going to get a one name, Eric?
Yeah.
Like, Eric?
So, like, that's not... Yeah. That's just... I mean, you had a name. It was great.
War Raiders, like, yeah, like, it was no, like, you know, War Machine, but clearly they weren't going to be able to use
that. Obviously not going to call War Machine, but, like...
But War Raiders is not a bad, like, second place.
No.
And then in a distant last is the Viking Experience with Ivar and Eric.
That's a terrible name.
I still don't know which one is Ivar and which one's Eric.
I don't know. But the thing is, like, besides that, like, obviously it's a terrible name, but people have gotten past terrible names. Why would you do it? I don't know. But it just calls into the bigger question. These guys have been on your show.
Yeah.
They have been on your show as this established team. People pay money,
mm-hmm,
to you as a company to see them under this banner as this name. These are their stats.
Mm-hmm.
Does it count or does it not count? Like, I know that house shows don't count,
right?
Unless they do once every 5 years or whatever.
Right.
And that's the thing, is like, okay, out of necessity, out of, you know, we need to get this title on this guy, or somebody's injured and so we have to acknowledge it, or just the very occasional, hey, you should come to house shows, anything can happen, like one every now and then, that's fine.
Yeah.
I get that. But when you're playing like, hey, such and such has a 10-0 winning streak, that's 10-0 TV shows. I get that. That's fine.
Yeah.
But that's established. Does NXT count? And at this point, I'm like, it does or it doesn't. That's fine. If you want to be like, you know what? No. We don't care about NXT accolades. We don't care about, you know, that those titles aren't real titles. When, you know, once you come up here, that's big boys. This is an entirely, mm-hmm, separate thing. That's fine.
Yeah.
But then do that.
I agree. I'm willing to give you the answer that Vince doesn't think it counts. Because clearly, like, who else in that company would suggest the Viking Experience? Like, who else would suggest a name change at this point? Like, who else would, you know, think of changing Mustafa Ali to just Ali, like,
yeah,
after,
well,
being
and
having that name for so long?
I am fine if you miss the opportunity to be like, oh my goodness, who is that? It hasn't, like, since I think Braun Strowman was the last time where somebody showed up and it was this big, like, who is that? This is exciting, scary, new, and different.
Yeah.
Pretty much since then, everybody's been like, oh, we're calling them up from NXT.
Yeah.
You know all about them. Here's this history. This is a well-established character.
Yeah.
And if you don't want that, that's fine. I get that. And if you want somebody, if like you're like, that NXT character is not going to work. Like, again, I love the Velveteen Dream. I'm 1,000% behind that. He's making it work beautifully. I don't want him to go to the main roster.
No, after seeing the treatment that NXT guys got for this weekend.
If you want to sit down and say, hey, let's look at it, you know, realistically, Velveteen Dream's super way over here. We've had this struggle with NXT stuff translating to the main show. Patrick is an amazing wrestler and a very passionate guy and could probably find more success on the main roster as a bit of a more mainstream, down-the-middle wrestler.
Yeah.
And you want to, you know, bring him out as something a little closer to, you know, basic character.
Yeah.
That's fine. I get that. Like, my heart will be broken for the Velveteen Dream character.
Mm-hmm. But something but to kind of rein him in to have more of a widespread appeal.
Right.
Yeah.
But this weird, like, sometimes, and, like, I think, it's just, when you have, at the same time, you're touting, like, oh, hey, the, you know, NXT women's tag titles can be defended on all three brands. There's three brands now. This is brand number three.
Yep.
And then to like bloop bloop undercut it just like that. And you're like,
yeah.
But is it now? Did any of that happen?
Right.
Can the Viking experience come out and say like, we are champions?
Yeah.
In this company, or are they a zero time champion team now?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it will depend on how NXT handles them being on Raw. Maybe they'll do the Paige thing where they'll have them drop it, or the Asuka thing where they had her drop it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It all just feels so weird. And like, to add on top of that, like, you know, further proof that clearly NXT doesn't count in the eyes of Vince McMahon. They brought up Kairi Sane,
yeah,
as a tag team wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, like, okay, well, she has a long time tag team with Io Shirai. So clearly, they're gonna bring. No, she's gonna pair up with Asuka. So that's also heartbreaking proof that they're not really. They don't have a plan for Asuka to kind of get back at Charlotte or anything. Right. She's just gonna be a tag team wrestler.
Yes. So
just like ignoring like the history that Kairi Sane has with Io Shirai. Like they literally were like in tag team matches together.
Oh yeah. For the last few months. No, like, you know, as it's happening, I'm sitting over here like doing like my little armchair booking fan fiction notes where I'm like, okay, so like this is basically a mega power situation where like, you know, you're going to be this tag team up until about SummerSlam, and Asuka could turn heel. Asuka would be a great heel. She hasn't been a heel yet. Asuka would be an amazing heel. We should have this, like, Asuka heel turn where she betrays her. Asuka's the champion. Asuka can have a championship run. We have Kairi Sane, you know, really going for it. Kairi Sane wins the Rumble. Mm-hmm. And then the pirate theme, I'm like, it's working great. And I'm like, none of this is going to ever happen.
No. But I mean, like, I'm, you know, having Paige as their manager or whatever, not a bad move with, you know, two non-native English speakers.
Yeah, that I
there's
get.
There's that. Although Kairi Sane's English has gotten is pretty good. Asuka's getting there still.
Well, yes, but Asuka was fine isn't even the right word. Asuka was excellent. Asuka sold character and emotion and you had no issue knowing what Asuka wanted, what her goals were, how she felt about other people.
Yeah. She was like, able to emote that.
Yes. Yeah. And she was able to communicate it. And it reminds me when, I don't remember who it was, but somebody backstage thought Becky Lynch wasn't going to get over because of her accent.
Yeah.
And you're like, you can't even get past that.
Yeah.
Like, of course, everybody who, like, English is clearly their second language, you're never going to even give a chance to.
No. Mm. So beyond that, like, you know, obviously, like, the big notes, like, they've essentially switched AJ and Roman.
Yeah, so a lot of the quote-unquote big events were very obvious, I guess. They I mean, it was clear, like, okay, Roman's obviously going to go to SmackDown because they kind of want to ride this, like, he's, you know, getting cheers now.
And they want to build SmackDown up.
Yeah, yeah. And they'll, like, And it's the same thing. Like, I think if he immediately is, you know, the face of Raw again, they'll get turned on him. But, like, we can do it over here in SmackDown.
Yeah.
Then we obviously have to replace that hole. AJ Styles is really the only option. I guess Daniel Bryan's a possible thing, but Daniel Bryan's got a potential
injury. Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan injuries are super scary.
Yeah, especially when they're being very secretive about it.
Yes.
But yeah, so yeah, it makes sense to move over to move Roman over to SmackDown while he's still getting cheered, and then whenever he buries Kofi, they'll get booed again.
That's very
because
probable.
If WWE is good at anything, they are really great at making anybody unlikable, including a cancer survivor.
Yeah,
they know no bounds.
Surely, and I say this knowing that all the surelys they've ignored in the past, surely Roman's not going to immediately go for the title.
No.
Just give him do a nice, clean and simple faces fight heels, like up and down the card for Money in the Bank. And, sure. And you know what? Let Roman win Money in the Bank. Like sure.
Has he won Money in the Bank?
I don't remember.
I don't think he has.
So there was that Money in the Bank with where like Roman and Seth and Dean all held the title within like 5 minutes of each other.
Right, but it was Dean who cashed in.
I think that's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because the match was Seth versus Roman. Seth pinned Roman clean for the championship.
Dean.
And then Dean cashed in.
And Dean was champion for a while.
Yeah, and that's and then not long after that was when the split happened. He went to SmackDown.
Right.
That's how the WWE Championship went to SmackDown.
So, but yeah, let Roman win that. Let him have that for a while.
Sure. And like that, and then, you know, he can have a feud with, you know, mid-card heels for a while. And then,
and you have,
as soon as Kofi loses it to a detestable
I think,
character.
Yeah, you have a heel come, take it off Kofi, and you have Roman come in and demand. That's a very Hulk Hogan move.
Right.
It's right up the alley of what they want, you know, the super face powerhouse of the company to do. So, sure. Sure. Fine.
I don't know. Like, you have to find the right heel that everyone is going to hate.
Yeah.
To beat Kofi.
Yeah.
And then have him cash in on that person. So, speaking of the whole Kofi thing, surely they're going to have KO, like, turn on Kofi or something. I don't know. I mean, yeah, they might be all in on this KO face turn.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because like, otherwise, why have him join New Day?
I mean,
it was fun. It was
Biggie's out with injury.
Yeah.
And I think it was a very easy thing to be like, oh, that big guy's gone. Here's a big guy. You know, and for a goofy 1-2 week kind of thing.
Yeah.
It depends on how much. How much or how long KO is going to be a face. I would like to see him get a nice face run.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're like, well, Sami Zayn's a heel right now, and so, like, they can't be on the same side.
Yeah, so, okay. All right. So, speaking of, because I still don't know where Sami Zayn, what show Sami Zayn's on. And there are a few people on the roster through this past week. I still don't know what freaking show they're on. But yet, like, the commentators know. As soon as Finn Balor's music hit, he's on SmackDown. Well, he was also on Raw. Like, how are you sure about that and not sure about, you know, like, the logic?
Okay.
Which I know that's my own fault.
No. Because they had it fine, and I think we talked about this everything, but the superstar shakeup is an inherently stupid concept.
Yes.
When you have a draft.
Yeah.
And you remember, like,
and it can be structured.
Yes.
And you can tell people exactly, this person's on this person's on this show, and this person, we're just going to let them do whatever they want. They're on both shows. That's fine. But just tell us.
Both shows should be, I mean, I guess John Cena, but whatever. But both shows is like Becky. Becky has a reason to be on both shows right now. But they would have this SmackDown guy's going to fight this Raw guy. Mm-hmm. And whichever one wins, that, you know, show gets a draft. The actual draft for this brand split was amazing with the strategy based on how the general managers were doing. And if you could have a consistent authority general manager storyline.
And you can even, like, because, you know, you don't want to, like, you don't want to have a draft where they go through the entire roster over again.
No, you don't. You'd
be
want
like,
that.
All right, this year's draft, we're each going to have 10 picks. We could pick whoever we want off the other show.
Right. We have 10 picks, 2 vetoes, or you have something like, hey, you know, we won Survivor Series. So that means we get an extra draft or first pick.
There's a reason for them to be fighting at Survivor Series.
Exactly.
Other than, like, oh, we all suddenly have show pride, you know.
Yeah.
After, like, a couple weeks ago, we didn't really care.
Yeah.
You know.
You can even do things like, you know, hey, I, you know, the general manager am feuding with this guy. Mm-hmm. I'll give him to you for free or for, you know, your 10th pick or something. Mm-hmm.
But what really doesn't make any sense about all of this is the fact that there is no general managers. There are no commissioners. All the McMahons are running both shows.
Yes.
At least we assume. So, like, the fact that they're like, oh, we're going to be picking this over this person, or, like, we're going to move them over because we want to do better over here, or do that this show do better. Like, there's no, like, nothing in place to really...
No, there's not.
None of it makes any sense.
No.
What I do know is that Lars Sullivan is right now playing a very important role on both shows, and that is bathroom break. I thought, since, you know, the, you know, making sure women's matches are more serious, then, man, they've gotten rid of the bathroom break match, quote unquote. Nope. They brought it right back, this time old tradition with Lars Sullivan.
You know how I feel about monster builds.
Also, sorry, not to cut you off. They're on such a... just a spree of these one-name wrestlers that are changing their names. Just call the dude Lars. Lars Sullivan just sounds so... I'm sorry. I hate everything about him. Okay. I really do.
Again,
I really do.
There is one and a half monster builds that have worked in the past decade.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman, kind of Nia Jax. Kind of sort of Nia Jax.
At first, yeah.
So
and then that was the surprising thing, is that they were happening at the same time.
Yes.
Independently of each other.
Right. But if you can go down the lists of the Kozlov, Great Khali, Ryback, Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys who's like Rusev, where it's like destroy, 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 finally lose it, and oh, now you're a comedy character.
Yep. Almost every single time.
Yeah.
So, the only difference is I don't see Lars Sullivan being able to pull off a comedy. Like, because some of the
it will happen within a year.
Oh, I will argue that it happens within 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, he will be...
Because he's not going to get over.
He will slip on a pancake, or he's going to do something. He will be... The goofy backstage character.
He's too goofy looking. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Like, clearly he's a very terrifying looking guy, but just his movements, the way he just wavy arms around, like, it's just it. I don't know. Like, there's something about his body language that just I don't see him being able to get over. Like, I don't see him.
Okay.
Being successful in any way.
The guy, physically, is structurally designed like an orc. Like a fantasy monster creature. And so he has this troll-like characteristics, which you could play into. Like, he is a guy that you should be monster building. He's a guy that has the correct physique, has the correct look to do a monster build.
Mm-hmm.
Monster builds... don't work in this, you know, come out, destroy one person, that's your job for the week, for 6 months. It's basic why you tune into the show. I don't tune into the show to see people win. I tune in to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And if I know what's going to happen...
I'm immediately disinterested.
Exactly. Unless... I have some sort of faith that it's going to be a fantastic match. And that's what WrestleMania is for. Like, you know, I knew Becky was going to win. Like, I didn't know Becky was going to win, but I knew Becky was going to win.
Yeah.
I was still very excited to see Becky win.
Right.
Because of tons of past build, and because I was very excited to see how the match played out from bell to bell.
Right.
When I know the person's going to win, when I know there's going to be no offense on the other side, that doesn't matter, with the exception of who they destroy. Because Brock Lesnar...
Circumstance plays.
Well, that's the thing. Brock Lesnar throwing a dude German suplex 16 times is not interesting. Brock Lesnar throwing John Cena 16 times is interesting because they don't do that to John Cena.
Right.
So Lars Sullivan beating up nobodies to slightly above nobodies is not interesting.
I mean, you know, they let R-Truth get in a little bit of offense, you know, and he did have the U.S. Championship like a few months ago. So I guess.
Well, somebody was like trying to spin this as like, Lars Sullivan's doing like a legend killer gimmick where like everybody he's, you know, destroying are these old legends of the ring. And he gets to this like, R-Truth's been there a while. Like Rey Mysterio was one. And
right,
so, like,
okay. I was struggling to think of who he squashed already.
Yeah, so it is these, you know, it's not jobbers, which is theoretically good, but...
But also not in a match situation. It's always post-match or, you know, at the end of somebody's segment,
yes,
he interrupts.
And it just... It is a matter of stakes. What are the stakes here? And that's, I mean, obviously we could get on a huge derailment of WWE's entire issue with there's no stakes to anything.
Right.
Matches happen for no reasons. There's no consequences or fallout from feuds, blah, 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 blah.
So what you're saying is the stakes are rare?
No, I'm not gonna do that.
Medium rare then, okay.
I'm trying to remember the other, a couple other things that happened. Bayley is teaming up with specifically not Sasha.
Well, yeah, but she teamed up with Naomi.
She teamed up with Naomi, but more importantly, she teamed up with not Sasha.
Sure, and then moved her to SmackDown the next night to a very unwarm welcome. But I mean, that's also Montreal.
That's Montreal.
But like, you know, making allusions that maybe, you know, Charlotte versus Bayley might be the route that they're going.
Yes, I assume so. If they are forcing Asuka into the tag team division, okay. A side note on that.
Mm-hmm.
While obviously Asuka should be the main event and should be champion forever.
Yeah.
That aside, if Asuka is in the tag team division, she should be far and away the winner, the undefeatable.
Yeah.
Winner.
Yeah.
I mean, and so
unless this leads to a Asuka Kairi Sane feud,
yes,
where Asuka turns heel, then like, as long as there is a plan, fine.
Not a plan.
But there's not a plan.
But the problem with putting Asuka there is it is making the Iconics look like they shouldn't be the tag team champions.
Yeah.
Which they should be right now. They are an established tag team. They have worked hard. They have characters that do exactly what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
They are really kind of building a complete character and a complete tag team made out of two people. They're doing a really good job. But because of Asuka being there, it immediately stunts their ability to grow and to extend out into this, you know, tag team division. And like, I think if, you know, Kairi Sane's whole team had come up and like, now this is our, you know, tag team.
Yeah.
If they were insisting, like, we need an Asian tag team, if that's what they're going for, because that's what they're going for, like, it wouldn't have had the issue of Asuka having this long-established undefeated streak, champion, multiple championship, you know, victories, long, long title reigns. But again, that goes back to, does NXT count?
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Because when she was, you know, when they were counting off how long she'd been undefeated, they were happy to go back and, like, add those NXT things in there.
Yep. But as soon as it wasn't convenient for them anymore, ignore.
Very frustrating.
It really is. Star Wars?
No. No? Okay. Let's see. Oh. Bray Wyatt's coming back and is now a Velociraptor.
He's now a Velociraptor puppet. Yeah, like it's very obvious this is Bray Wyatt. Like, yeah, we should know that laugh from anywhere by now. But it really makes you wonder on what the character is going to be when he gets back. Because, like, we all can agree, like, Bray Wyatt needed some retooling.
Yes.
You know, I feel like in the iteration that he had been, he had pretty much explored as far as that character could go.
Well, I mean, and... Yeah, so Bray Wyatt suffers from the, this character is creepy, which automatically makes him a threat, and at some point it just doesn't. When he loses to everything, he's not a threat.
Everything and everyone,
And so, yes, he needed to go away for a while, he needs to come back, and he needs to, you know, come back as a threat in order to be relevant. Mm-hmm. At some point, please, like... I don't know what's going on with Luke Harper. Luke Harper was one of the ones who asked for his release.
Yep.
Don't know what's going on with Eric Rowan, very specifically because Daniel Bryan's status is so up in the air and secret right now. Right. At some point, should have been a while ago, might as well be now, go ahead and introduce a Sister Abigail character.
Yeah. If they're going to stay within the realm of the Bray Wyatt character... Yeah, they need to go ahead and get that.
And
like, get it while, you know, people care. And
yeah, exactly.
Give a crap.
And if NXT doesn't count and Sanity's over, Nikki would be a great candidate for a Sister Abigail character.
Yeah, I mean, because Clark, like, they haven't done anything with her since she's rejoined, so they can pretty much just ignore that she's already on the main roster.
Yeah.
And anything that she's done, because they've clearly have ignored her, period. So, yeah. I'm all for it. So another bit, they're going to do a network special for like the final last, you know, Shield match. I'm assuming they're going to look at it at a live show.
Yeah.
God, how many last matches are they going to have?
I understand it. I would milk it too.
Man's stop calling it the last match unless it actually is.
How many last matches have John Cena and Randy Orton had?
Have they called any of them the last match?
They absolutely have.
Okay, I mean, I don't... I might have, like, blocked it from my memory.
I remember there was one time, I think it was 2009, they very specifically were like, this is the last John Cena, Randy Orton match to end all matches. Like,
that, I think that, like, in the grand span of, like, all their matches, I think that one falls right in the middle.
Oh, yeah. No, it was just...
I remember that now,
I remember that being the concept behind the build-up to that one was, this one's for all the marbles, here we go. Much like the Undertaker and Triple H one at, I think, Super Showdown, where, like, the entire basis was, this is the last time they're ever going to fight, except for when they're in a tag team against each other in, like, a month from now, bye.
Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah.
I the Shield will always hold a near dear place in all of our hearts.
Yes.
Mine included. But man, I wish they would have done one last like Shield versus Wyatt family match. And they still technically could. They could do that this Saturday because it's a house show and it could be a great, because they never said who they're gonna fight.
No.
And you know, one guy is out. Well, one guy on each side is out the door anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a one and done, and clearly these matches don't count on you know the live shows. So,
but this one's being taped, so I don't know if it counts. Because you know, Beast in the East counted.
But then again, because they recorded parts of the last.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
I don't either. Starcade.
Yes.
They taped parts of it, and Bray Wyatt was in one of those parts and wasn't in any shows before or after that.
Yeah.
So they can do these one-offs.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. And this might go counteract to other things that I've said at some point on this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it because it's the Shield. I'm fine with it because
yeah.
I will take the victory laps.
Or just
or
have
the,
like, because we only got, I think, one match between the two teams. And I'm okay with just doing one more before they're out the door. And just having a face versus face, New Day versus Shield. Like, I would be amazed by that. I would love that.
Yeah, no, that would be a great match.
Yeah.
I mean, I also really feel like it's not the last time. 5 years from now, whatever.
Sure,
like,
it's the last one for now.
Yes, it's obviously the last one for now.
Because, like, there's no, like, all indication is, like, Dean just wants some time off.
I think so.
Yeah. So I have a feeling, like, he's probably not going to go anywhere anytime soon. I think he just needs some time away, and he's probably dealing with it a little bit more healthy than CM Punk did when he was feeling that way.
Yes.
So I think, yeah, there's definitely a chance that Dean is gone. Like, working for WWE clearly is frustrating, and it wears a lot on your brain, and, you know, obviously your body as well, but more so your brain. Like, I think he just needs some more time away, because, like, yeah, he had all this time away dealing with injury and, like, setbacks and everything. But, like, you know, the entire time he was doing that, he's working towards coming back. I don't think he, like, it's probably safe to say he probably didn't spend any of that time just, like, taking it easy or, you know, just having some time for himself or anything like that. Like,
yeah,
the guy clearly needed some time outside of all of this, outside of the world of wrestling.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I also will say, if you are the kind of person that makes it all the way to WWE, if you have that drive, you're not a take it easy kind of person.
No.
Like, if that's all it is, if he's like, man, I just need a year to take a break, it's going to be 2 months.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, nope, I need something.
Yeah.
And that might be just coming back to WWE. Like, that might be some house shows.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I do think he is, I mean, he's obviously, you can look at clues like, you know, Renee Young's relationship with WWE to get an indication of what Dean's relationship with WWE is.
Yeah.
And I do think that how Renee will be treated by WWE, whether fair or not, and the answer is not, will have an impact on what Dean does, you know, going forward.
Yeah, in the years to come. Yeah, I'll agree with that. Is there anything else that we need to talk about? Like, I'm drawing a blank. Oh, I mean, well, we can talk about the people that are asking for their release.
Yeah.
Well, we found out that, you know, Sasha and Bayley did not know
that they were going to be losing
the titles at WrestleMania
until
the day of, even though that's been the plan all along.
Right. And they did not know they were being split up as a team.
Yeah, essentially the next week. So, yeah, I guess that lack of communication is probably what really got to them, especially Sasha.
Yeah.
She's asked for her release from what we've been told. And essentially she's been given some time away to think about it, to rethink about it, I should say. Last we heard, she is scheduled to be at the next pay-per-view, Money in the Bank, but it's still unsure if she's actually going to show up.
Yeah.
So there's that. There is, like we said, Luke Harper, who's asked for his release. Don't really know what WWE's response is or is going to be. I think his contract is up towards the end of the year, so there's a very good chance that they're going to just have him write it out at home, the Neville strategy, so to speak.
Right.
It would be really, really crappy if they did the injury freeze on his contract like they did with Rey Mysterio years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And just made him wait longer before they released him. And then there is, I'm blanking, Alexander Wolf from Sanity. Also was asked for release and also said something on Twitter about it. WWE still has him on contract, so I don't know what's going to happen there. But at this point, like, what's the point in keeping him? Because he's not being used. Like, Sanity is broken up.
Yeah.
Essentially. Like, every member on Sanity has posted, like, oh, it was good while it lasted kind of thing with Sanity. Because Eric Young, I didn't even know Eric Young got drafted to Raw. I just saw it on a graphic like the day after.
Right.
And then Nikki Cross has basically been doing her own thing for a while now. I want better things for like Killian Dane and stuff, because like we saw what he can do. Like he was the one member of Sanity, you know, aside from Nikki Cross, that really kind of won me over.
Yeah.
Because they started doing stuff with him. Like when he would do, I think he was in the Andre a couple years ago, and he was really, he really impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
Like from that point on, I was like, all right, this guy has got something. And then I think later was when they were in the first War Games.
Yeah.
And that one, he blew me away.
They all did great in the War Games.
Yeah. Alexander Wolf, he had his moments. Honestly, never really did anything for me. But, you know, he's asked for his reliefs, and I'm sure he can do, you know, he can do well for himself if WWE would let him go.
So, one of the most interesting things, when you look back and try and find, like, if you could find Wrestling Observers from the Monday Night War, you know, time period, one of the most crazy things is the, like, negotiations and the strategies and the back and forth of what the wrestlers were doing
mm-hmm.
when, you know, when doing contracts,
yeah,
when negotiating. And so the big thing right now is people are freaking out over Sasha Banks unfollowing WWE and following AEW on Twitter.
Now I think she's unfollowed AEW as well now.
So, but you just think back to a time where I think it was it Lex Luger that appeared on both shows at once because he was like secretly?
No, he was, it was soon after he was on the show, on like, might have been like the next day. No. It might have been the next week. Because there was one person that was there on this same show on the same day, and that was Rick Rude. When he was
but that's because Raw was taped, and so
Raw was taped, and he was like the insurance policy for DX at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he showed up on Nitro like the next day. But like Luger, like might have been within the same week, but yeah, it was essentially the same idea.
But like, yeah, there was like stealth signings going on.
Yeah,
just people like holding titles for ransom before switching over to shows. There's this great story about Ric Flair. Was like in a car circling the building where Raw was going,
yeah,
like negotiating on the phone. Basically, it's like I can pop on Raw right now, it'll explode.
Yeah,
so you take all of that, you take that strategy, that nonsense, that you know, pitting people against each other, and you throw social media in there.
Yeah,
it's about to go bananas.
Yeah,
and part of that is, like, we have no indication that AEW has any interest in Sasha Banks.
Right.
Like, and we talk about, like, you know, everybody that they've signed, especially if you look at the women that they have signed so far,
mm-hmm.
nobody was a WWE star. Nobody was a WWE reject, mm-hmm. even. They're just, it's, you know. And part of that is, like, WWE's, you know, depth and history of their female division is nothing like their men's division. They don't have a Chris Jericho that they can shock or pull.
Right.
But,
and a lot of the divas of, you know, the former generation don't really have any interest of getting back in the ring.
Right.
And if they do, they're with WWE.
Right.
In some fashion.
Well, and part of that is when you have people like Mickie James is the obvious example.
Yeah.
Like WWE needs those names because they, through their own fault and years of not caring, they don't have a, you know, roster of female legends like they do male legends.
No, not even close. Yeah, so the women's division that AEW has put together so far is more of like, you know, a lot of indie wrestlers that they're like, hey, we like your stuff. We feel like we can give you a better platform
right.
with us kind of thing, which, you know, great, like good on them. Cause that's essentially what they're doing from top to bottom. Like
mm-hmm.
bringing a lot of people outside of the elite core group
to
shine a light on them, you know? And then obviously getting like bigger names like the Lucha Bros, you know, because they think they're awesome. They want them in their company.
Yeah, absolutely. And like this isn't meant to be any kind of knock on you know, who they've signed so far, right. almost uniformly everybody they've signed, you can have like, oh, I see why they would sign that. Yeah. That's very interesting. There's a lot of potential there. There's, and this is, you know, both men and women that they've signed, there is nobody where you look at it and you're like, why would you do that? Why is that one? And there's none of that so far.
Yeah.
But we don't know what their plan is. We don't know. There's no reason to think that they would be interested in Sasha Banks beyond the very obvious, like, it's Sasha Banks. Why not? Of course you would be.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know what their strategy is. I don't know what their budget is. You know, I... So we while we have a lot of, like, interest of this person might go here, this person, you know, might be leaving, the only person that they have snatched away, quote-unquote, is Chris Jericho.
Right.
And we only know because of what Chris Jericho is willing to say of they've, you know, gave him an incredible financial contract.
Right.
And that could, we because we don't have numbers, because we don't know what that is, and we don't know, obviously, not everybody's being paid the Chris Jericho level.
No. Yeah. So yeah, I don't, there's a lot of like speculation, and there's a lot of, you know, we don't know what the future would hold if Sasha does leave. Now, you know, it would be hard to argue that she would go anywhere else. But then again, we don't know if AEW is even interested, which I'm assuming they probably would be.
I assume they probably would be. I don't know if they can offer her the money that, you know, WWE can offer.
Yeah. And, but I mean, like, she would be... It would be completely idiotic for her to leave WWE without getting some sort of figure from AEW.
Right.
You know?
But, you know, on the flip side, I don't know if Sasha Banks cares. You know?
That might be a very real thought that she's had, where she would be willing to take a pay cut to be somewhere where she's going to feel more creatively fulfilled. Like,
right.
It's hard to put a dollar amount on that.
It absolutely is. And even if you're thinking long term, you are, you know... You're Sasha Banks. You have been hitting a wall for years. You were the final boss of NXT for a good long time. You were one of the four horsewomen. You are, at points, the star of the four horsewomen.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, like,
pretty much
was at the forefront of when they were, you know, doing all of these firsts. Like, a lot of these firsts. Moments
involve her
in her feud with Charlotte. Now you could argue like, oh well, there was such a big emphasis on that because of Charlotte, but it takes two to wrestle. Like,
takes two to wrestle. Also, the first main event was in NXT. It was her and Bayley.
You're right. Yeah.
And so to have all that, to know that you have that talent and that accolades and that fan support, and then to hit this wall after wall after wall, and you see everything going into Charlotte. You see this Becky, you see this Ronda stuff. You finally go, I'm going this different direction. Me and Bayley are going to do this tag team. You have that snatched out from under you. You know, I totally see that. You go to AEW. You are the head of the division. You're the face of the division for 2 years. And then WWE is, you know, putting more zeros on that paycheck to get you back.
Yeah. And, like, probably giving her, you know, a rundown of exactly what they would do with her on TV, you know, like, if she came back.
Yeah.
Like, well, they would actually make a plan for her if, you know, she makes a big deal of herself elsewhere.
It is a viable strategy that many people have employed.
Yeah.
You go to the Drew McIntyre's.
He basically wrote the blueprint on that.
Exactly.
One.
Well, and, you know, Cody Rhodes, you know, could have, you know, they would have thrown money at him if he was, you know, voiced any interest in coming back.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what's going on there, but it is very interesting to see, and because wrestling and the behind the scenes is so much more willing to be in the public eye right now,
yeah,
it is very interesting to see what could be coming over the next several months.
Speaking of just wrestling in general, this is probably something we probably should have talked about off mic. Have you watched any of the Viceland wrestling documentaries that they're doing?
No, not yet.
Yeah, me neither. I really need to do, because I know they're doing one about Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
Which, he's one of my favorites ever, so I really need to watch it. But part of me is like, I don't know if I want to. Like, it's a very heartbreaking story.
Oh, yeah.
I think the first one, well, no, at least the one this week was about the Montreal Screwjob. I forget. That was an episode last week. Those episodes last week, I forget what it was about.
The other thing for the shakeup that we need to talk about, I guess probably the final thing, we had two announcements, one for Raw and one for SmackDown, and that's Cedric Alexander is going to Raw and Buddy Murphy is going to SmackDown.
Yeah.
At least one of them, and I don't remember which one, but the announcer said such and such is being called up to... And I was like, that's kind of the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah, I think
of the cruiserweights
might,
being
might have been Cedric's announcement. Yeah, and yeah, just further like ugh.
And it's just like we all know that it's this lower rung.
Yeah, kind of thing. Moving from 205 Live to either show is a step up.
Yes,
but you don't have to flat out just say it like that.
And those things like NXT is. At least it's built and structured and presented as the rookie league.
Yeah.
Like, you're presenting 205 Live as this alternative style of wrestling.
Yeah.
And so, to do that, that's just... That's this additional nail in the coffin of this being any opportunity to, consider this a... viable thing. And at this point, I was just like, I think you should let 205 die. I think you should continue the cruiserweight. And again,
I'll agree. Continue the cruiserweight, but find a different venue for it.
Yeah, and we've talked about like making your middle hour of Raw your cruiserweight's hour.
Yeah.
You have the cruiserweight title in there. You kind of, you're trying to pad out a 3-hour storyline anyway. So you do it there. It gets more eyes on the product that, maybe the Cruiserweight Championship can be defended on a main show.
I still think that a smaller venue would do them wonders. Because, an entire arena, especially when, they're at the tail end of a SmackDown taping, they're not even that. They're at the beginning, so you're getting half-filled arenas anyway for people that are trickling in. I feel like a full-sail venue would work perfectly. And so I basically just rent out Full Sail for 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
Do NXT one night, the next night do an entire taping of 205 Live.
Yeah.
Obviously they would. Well, I mean, they don't even have to change the freaking name because hasn't been live in months.
No.
So I feel like that would benefit much greater. And then you can have more NXT crossover because they like to do that with 205 anyway.
Yeah. Again, I absolutely think a cruiserweight division and establish these are our cruiserweights is a great thing to do. Even if you are having your cruiserweights that get over, go for quote unquote real championships.
Yeah.
That's then fine.
You can have, a cruiserweight championships, the bigger matches at NXT takeovers, you still have them on the main pay per views every now and then. Like, you can do so many other things with it that would do wonders for the show if they would just be willing to take that step.
Yeah.
So Star Wars?
Yeah, we can talk about Star Wars now.
Well, I mean, you're the one with all the interesting stories. You were at Celebration.
Yes, I was at Celebration last week.
So I guess, the one question that anyone who's interested in that is still listening, which I'm assuming is a fair amount, is our thoughts on the trailer.
Yes.
It was good. it showed you a lot, but didn't. I don't think it showed you too much.
So one of the most heartwarming parts of going to Celebration and being there live was the introductions of Kelly Marie Tran, who plays Rose in Last Jedi, and Ahmed Best, who plays Jar Jar Binks in Phantom Menace and obviously the other in the prequel trilogy, because he appears in all three. Yes. I don't know if he actually played him in Revenge of the Sith. I don't know if he was on set or not.
I don't remember either.
But he is obviously
clearly it's his voice.
Yeah, he doesn't speak in Revenge of the Sith.
He doesn't?
So he's only president.
That's because he gives emergency powers in the second one. That's right. Okay.
Yes. Anyway, these two people got the biggest, most positive, outstanding ovations, yes, responses from the crowd.
And thank God for it, because those people have been through some stuff.
It is a nice reminder that the complaints and the bitterness and the nastiness that has been associated with Star Wars fans is such a tiny, small, but noisy minority.
Yeah. And I feel like that's probably the same crowd that was so violently against Last Jedi.
Parts of it, yes.
Well, yeah, and I feel like it's a big crossover.
As always, I'm happy to acknowledge why you might not have liked Last Jedi and explain to you why you're wrong, because it's Star Wars, and boy howdy do I love explaining Star Wars.
Yes.
But there is this whole thing, especially ever since J.J. Abrams was announced, that it's like, oh, they're going to fix Star Wars, basically striking Last Jedi from canon, or, you know, doing everything to undo that. And there's this, you know, worry.
Which I haven't gotten that vibe at all.
Well, that's the thing. Is like,
everything I've seen,
it was this worry. Yeah. And, like, even though I don't believe it, there's a little thing. I was like, they're going to get to them. Those stupid, noisy, whiny people are just, they're gonna make enough stupid YouTube videos.
Don't placate the trolls. Like, just don't give them power over your product.
And so the positive reaction to specifically these two actors is such a, you know, nice reinforcing thing of like, these people, the majority of them, absolutely love this product.
Yeah.
And so we come to this, like, okay, so there are these things that people are like, oh, Snoke did, you know, da-da-da, and Rey's parents are nobody. And we have a huge Last Jedi review a while back. I don't need to, like, go into explaining why all that's amazing and okay and stuff. But it's also, again, the biggest thing is like, oh, this is part two of a three-part trilogy.
Yes.
You don't know anything.
No.
And again, we talked about this with both of them. This is the first time in most of your lifetimes that you don't know anything. If you were born after 1980, this is the first time in your life that you don't know what's going to happen next in Star Wars.
Right.
Because you got to watch 4, 5, and 6, bada bing, bada bing, bada boom, and then 1, 2, and 3. And even if you had to wait and watch them in theaters every 3 years, you still knew what was going to happen as prequels. Like, you know where it's going to end up.
Yeah, you didn't know, like, beat for beat, but you knew where the end point was for the prequels.
Exactly. Yeah. And so much of that, you know, story had been told in, you know, extra materials or through dialogue of characters.
And they kind of picked from different, you know, source materials.
Right.
But essentially came up with their own story.
The thing is, nobody's walking out of Attack of the Clones being like, here are my theories on what happens next. And then you know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And so, all that being said, you don't know. Like you are experiencing this feeling towards Star Wars for the first time in your life of, like, this stuff is set up and I don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
And so there are... I don't want to fall into the trap of, like, breaking this down moment by moment, because I'm like, you know, I was like, oh, it opens up with breathing. That's a parallel to the, you know, the Last Jedi trailer, which also opens up with breathing, heavy breathing. In fact, the Force Awakens trailer opened up with heavy breathing with, you know, Finn popping up, like, the initial, and I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to try not, and that's before there's footage.
But there was a lot of parallels.
Yes, there's a lot of parallels. There's a lot of parallels to the Phantom Menace trailer of the saga has a beginning, the, you know, every generation comes to an end kind of stuff. I guess I should say spoilers if you don't want the trailer to be spoiled and you haven't seen it yet.
Don't be one of those people. Just cut the podcast off or don't. Come on.
Yeah. But I will say, like, I'm going to tell you what happens in the trailer. The big thing, obviously, is
Lando.
Well, I knew Lando was going to be in it.
Yeah, but you got to see him.
I did get to see Lando, but I also saw a picture of Lando beforehand.
Sure.
Because they showed that to the people, and it's like, I know what Lando looks like.
And he was also in the panel before they showed the trailer. Yes. So, yeah.
So the big thing is there was this laugh noise.
Yeah.
And I had said at one point when we were talking about, like, oh, is JJ going to fix everything? I was like, you know what? There's two big things, and it's Rey's parents are nobody. I don't like that. And it's Snoke died in the middle, and I don't like that. And so, like, oh, JJ's coming back, and he's going to make Rey's parents super important, and he's going to bring Snoke back. And I was like, okay, you get one.
Yeah,
one of those is fine.
Two of those are, then you start getting the vibe of, like, okay, they're fixing Last Jedi.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? That's totally fine. Where Snoke can come out and be like, you thought you killed me? Da da da, I'm Superman. And then, or you can be like, what? You believe that stupid Kylo Ren? He's a big fat liar. Your parents are magic.
Right.
Either one of those, fine. There's a very easy.
One or the other, not both, because that would.
Exactly. There's a very easy story beat for either one. Mm-hmm. But if you start to be like, all this stuff, you don't like it, and here we go. Here are the Band-Aids.
Yeah.
So there was this laugh, and I had this, like, it's the Emperor. Woo! And I was like, a second, and it was like out of my mouth and like catches in my throat. And I'm like, I think that was the Emperor. Was that a Snoke laugh?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no, I might have been one of those gross people who's like, they're fixing it. I don't want to do that.
Right.
And so, like, but my cheer is out. And then it does the whole like Rise of Skywalker thing, beautiful title reveal, and then freak out all over again.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm heavy breathing that. And I'm like, I think that was the Emperor. But I don't want to look like a stupid idiot and be like, guys, the Emperor. And then be like, Emperor died in number 6 and that was clearly Snoke and you're an idiot. So then like the lights come back on and Ian McDiarmid's standing on stage.
AKA the man who played the Emperor.
Yes. Yeah. Which was a fantastic moment.
Yes. And you could tell he was getting to him too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like I will say like the two times I've gone to Celebration in the past, the Ian McDiarmid panel is like the one I do not miss. Like he's such a delight.
So that was on Friday, and then I think on Monday there was a Phantom Menace 20-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Panel. Did you see that?
I didn't see it, but I didn't know what happened.
So on that, so they brought out a bunch of people, you know, who worked on the movie, and then at one point they're like, we need to bring out, you know, the Sith Lords here, and so they brought out Ray Park and Ian McDiarmid at the same time.
Yeah.
Which was like going to be cute, and now all of a sudden it's like, you know stuff about episode 9. Like this is a very different feeling of the panel. Yeah. And so Warwick Davis, who was moderating the panel, asked him, he's like, so what do you want to tell us about what happened on Friday? And he goes, oh, you know, I was in town. I just thought I'd drop in for a laugh. I was like, bam! You thought of that like 5 days ago. You've been waiting for that line.
If only I'm really hoping that he followed that up with his infamous Force Lightning pose that he likes to do. Where he's just like, holds his hands out and like act like, yeah, it's his favorite thing to do.
So I will go ahead and say, like, obviously, there's a million theories boppity beepity bopping around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't super dig into them because, A, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
There's no reason to get invested in your own theory.
Right. Because that's how, honestly, you get the people who hated Last Jedi
because they
wanted exactly what they said what they thought in their head, the movie that they pictured forever ago. As soon as they saw the first teaser, maybe even before that.
As soon as Force Awakens goes, it's like, I think this is going to come next. And then you have 2 years to be like, this is what's happening next.
Right. And it didn't happen, and you were wrong.
Yeah.
And you could be wrong. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be exactly like in your head. That doesn't make it any less good.
It's a big thing of like different is not bad.
Right.
And so.
And I think that's where some quote unquote fans are getting confused.
That is where some hiccups are. And again, you know, full discretion of like if that's, you know, that not all of them, but for you personally, if you hate Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Wonder how much of it is I had these ideas.
Yeah.
And when you say it's not that I had these ideas, it's that Force Awakens set this up.
Right.
No, it's because you had those ideas.
Exactly. And like,
good for you. That's how you should engage with this material.
Exactly. Because that's the fun of being a Star Wars fan. It's deeply ingrained into just the lifeblood of Star Wars is fantasy booking. You know, fantasy booking is 75% of the fun of being a Star Wars fan.
I will go further. Fantasy booking is part of being a flat-out fan.
Yeah, sure.
So when anything happens and it's like, da-da-da, oh, I wonder what happens next. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'll wait and see. And you don't put any more thought or process into that. That's a very passive fandom.
Yeah.
And that's fine for some things. I have things like where that's the kind of thing. I watch this show called Single Parents. Mm-hmm. It's on ABC. It's half an hour. It's, you know, for in the first season, I am exactly at the point where I'm like, all right, I wonder what happens next. I'll watch the next episode.
Yeah.
I am not planning out the story. I mean, I take that back a little because I am, because I'm like, that one's going to, you know, that one's going to
you can
match up with
see,
that one. That one's going to match up with that one. I see that chemistry.
Yeah. You start to see kind of where they're going with it. And you're like, all right, I can see how this leads to that or something like that. But if it doesn't happen, that doesn't get in the way of you enjoying the show.
Right.
Because that's the important part. Don't let your fantasy booking get in the way of you involving or you enjoying a new product, and to tie it into wrestling, you're working yourself into a shoot.
Well, and I can even go further. Even if at the end of the day, you still think your idea is better.
Right.
That is okay, because
it's fine. Yeah.
You know what?
Believe in yourself.
Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey should have had a singles match for the main event of WrestleMania. I will believe that until the day I die. That was the correct way to go.
Yep.
You didn't do it right. But that match was great.
Yeah. Like,
that match was great. And
it was different than what you were expecting.
And Charlotte came in on a helicopter, and boy, howdy, did I enjoy that.
Sure. Who cares if it was pre-taped? Of course it was pre-taped.
Of course it was
pre-taped. You know how long it would take to get from that helicopter to in through the stadium?
It was late. Yeah. I would have been mad if it wasn't pre-taped. I had to go to bed.
Exactly. So, all that being said, the name of episode 9 is Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
Yes. Not Rise of the Rise of Skywalker. That's
the Rise of Skywalker.
Okay. So clearly there are so many things to take from that, and there's so many different ways to interpret that title.
Mm-hmm.
It could just be a complete like mislead. They've done it before.
Yeah.
So some people are like, oh, they're gonna bring Luke back to life. I think that would be dumb. And again, like we were talking, like that would kind of quote unquote fix Last Jedi.
Okay.
And I don't like, I want the stakes from Last Jedi to stand.
Also, Star Wars characters don't die.
Right.
They turn don't. Into Force ghosts.
Right. And so that's why, like, you know, maybe the Emperor is an evil Force ghost. We haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
But if it's possible on the light side, clearly it probably would be possible on the dark side. And he was, you know, his character was obsessed with, you know, never dying or being eternal. Like, that was all he really talked about once we found out he was evil in the prequels.
Yeah.
So if anybody found out a way to do that, of course it would be him.
Yeah.
The Emperor. I mean, the Rise of Skywalker could allude to the redemption of Kylo Ren because he's half Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the reveal that Ren is, or Rey is actually a Skywalker, which I think would be dumb.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't get in the way of, because again, that's my expectations. Mm-hmm. If it does turn out, I'm sure they'll make it work, and it'll be, and I would still be able to enjoy the movie.
Well, it's the kind of thing where, Rey being a Skywalker can be done correctly,
sure,
and can be done wrong.
Yes.
I think, and I'm with you, I think her not being a Skywalker can also be done correctly, very correctly, and is the better choice.
I think so as well. Yeah.
Now, if they're like, oh, nope, she's a Skywalker, okay, do it right then, and they will or they won't. And that's, you know, that's something to be found out later.
Yeah.
But I will say, this movie is not only the third movie in the sequel trilogy, but is the ninth movie in the Star Wars saga.
Right.
And
for what we assume, or what we've been told, is the final movie in the Skywalker saga.
Yeah, just y'all wait.
Give it a few years.
Yes. But at the point of this making of the movie, it is the third part of the third part. And when we were at the point where George Lucas said, I've made 4, 5, 6, I've made 1, 2, 3, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 6-part story.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it was a 6-part story that was the fall and redemption of Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader. It made a complete story arc.
Yeah.
It made two individual story arcs. It made the fall of the Republic and the rise of the Rebellion. So it had two story arcs within its, you know, big overarching narrative, which is great. That's exactly how a saga should exist.
Right.
Now, this trilogy over here, this sequel trilogy, has not really done that yet.
No.
It's got a little bit of, like, the sins of the father going with Kylo and Darth Vader history, but it has really been this, like, epilogue kind of feel of, like,
here is
the big
remnants.
Star Wars 1 through 6 epic, The Fallen Redemption of Darth Vader, and then here's some more stuff because it's popular.
Well, that, and it's like, here's the remnants of, or essentially the fallout from what happened, you know, decades later.
So, by tying this into Palpatine, the Emperor, being the main villain of Episode 9, when you remember, he was the Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Like, he is the overarching 9-movie saga villain.
The puppet master, so to speak.
Yes,
yeah.
he is. And there's 150,000 theories about what this means, and stuff along the lines of, like, is he really dead?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't know, there is several moments, not several moments, but there is a lot of stuff in the original expanded universe, now the Legends timeline, where Palpatine cloned himself. He had, like, a chamber of, like, new bodies, and so when he died, his life force was, like, bloop, bloop, into a new body. Now he's an emperor again.
Yeah.
So maybe he cloned himself. Maybe he's got some life force stuff. Maybe he's, you know, got the, you know, evil force ghost thing.
Right.
Maybe he's got some descendants that he's, you know, moving through. Like, he's the one that can be having a lot of kids because he's not sitting out on an island.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. They can go a thousand different ways with this. I thought one of the more interesting theories was Kevin Smith on his reaction video or whatever, his podcast. He talked about what if, like, since clearly, like, the last episode was The Last Jedi, like, and really, like, who is the last Jedi in that movie? Is it Luke? Is it you know, Rey? She's the one that with all the books, but, you know, I don't think she ever completed her training unless we get some of that in this movie. So part of it is like, well, what if Rey becomes, you know, neither Jedi nor Sith?
Oh, the Skywalker's a great Jedi theory?
Yeah, or like, yeah, like she just named like this new,
yeah,
this new form of like,
yeah, that's a big,
Force master is the Skywalker.
That's a big
theory. To fully redeem the name of Skywalker that, you know, Darth Vader and Kylo try to
run
to the mud.
A big theory going around is that the gray Jedi, the thing in the middle,
is going
to be called a Skywalker from now
which
on.
Which sounds so much better than a gray Jedi. I understand and I appreciate the concept, but gray Jedi sounds stupid.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was actually talking that with, like, the guy who was a total stranger, but the guy standing next to me.
Because that's the beautiful thing about being at a Star Wars convention.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, is fully ready to engage in this conversation and enthusiastic about
it. We're sitting there, and we're like, okay, so it's no more Jedis, it's Skywalkers, it's the evolution of Jedi, it's the new. And, like, one of the nice things about the extended universe that they were able to do is be like, okay, so Jedi is a religion, basically, of the Force. Sith is a religion of the Force.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were able to explore things like, okay, so, you know, we have this inherent problem where you're like, oh, the Force has a light side and a dark side. If you are a servant of the dark side, do you not sit and be like, wait a minute, am I a bad guy?
Yeah.
It's called the dark side.
Yeah.
And so they were able to be like, oh, so the Sith have this different interpretation of this religion, you know, and then they were able to, like, expand on that and be like, okay, so, you know, the Force is an entity, but several people use it different ways, blah blah blah, you know, have different religions that still partake in the Force, much in the way real religions, like, all have, you know, a common God, but with several different interpretations and different, you know, characters going down their canon, basically.
Right.
And different importance laid on different, you know, people in history. Anyway, that's basically one of the floating ideas is...
And if, you know, the Skywalker family or so was supposed to bring balance to the Force as the, you know, prophecy has been whatever, then that would be a way to finally fulfill that prophecy through like the Skywalker name.
Yeah,
and
so
like and that
Skywalkers are Jedi.
And now, if they're able to like rebrand the Skywalker name through like, you know, and naming it after like Luke, who now is apparently going to be a well-known hero, especially after his, you know, sacrifice to let the rebellion go, the resistance, you know, go in The Last Jedi. Like, that's saying something towards his, you know, bravery or his sacrifice, whatever you want to call it. Because I can imagine, like, just the everyday common person that lives in the Star Wars universe is probably pretty sick of the Skywalkers by now. Like, they've caused a lot of garbage. They've caused a lot of poop. Like, you know, once they found out that Darth Vader was a Skywalker, and they're like, wait, like that Luke guy? And then you find out that Leia was a Skywalker, too? And I'm like, are we supposed to try? How, like, I can imagine, like, a lot of people, like,
I don't know how much the average person, like Leia's always, Leia went from an Organa to a Solo.
Sure. But I think, I forget the name of the book, but essentially it was, like, a politics version of Star Wars after Return of the Jedi, you know, and it's focusing on Leia. And, like, it specifically talks about, like, how finding out that Darth Vader was her father became a scandal.
Yeah.
Like, and it did a lot of damage. And I kind of, from what I understand, like, I didn't get through the whole thing. But that's part of the reason why she kind of, like, split it off with the Resistance. Be like, all right, they, you know, we've got to get something done and they're not taking me seriously or something along those lines.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, like, after, you know, and then, you know, I'm assuming some people knew that Kylo Ren was her son. And everything. And so it's just like, man, these Skywalkers, if they don't stop this, like, let's just get rid of them.
Yeah.
Let's just stop it.
All right. Anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet when it's appropriate.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, your own Star Wars theories, why not? Send that to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You subscribe there. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as, you know, iTunes metrics go.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a message on there. We'd love to hear from
you. We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.